Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with John P. Leonard, MD, Associate Dean for Clinical Research and Richard T. Silver Distinguished Professor of Hematology and Medical Oncology of Meyer Cancer Center at Weill Cornell Medicine and New York Presbyterian Hospital to discuss the FDA approval of tazemetostat in follicular lymphoma. On June 18, 2020, the FDA granted an accelerated approval to tazemetostat for the treatment of patients with relapsed and refractory follicular lymphoma whose tumors are EZH2 positive as detected by the COBUS EZH2 mutation test, and who have received at least two prior systemic therapies, as well as those with relapsed refractory disease who have no other available satisfactory treatment options. The approval was based predominantly on updated results from an ongoing phase 2 trial, which showed that the first-in-class EZH2 inhibitor led to an objective response rate of 69% in patients with EZH2 mutant disease and a 34% objective response rate for those with wild-type EZH2 disease. The complete response and partial response rates were 12% and 57% respectively in those with EZH2 mutations and 4% and 30% respectively for patients with wild-type EZH2. In terms of safety, the most common adverse effects with tazemetostat were fatigue, upper respiratory tract infection, musculoskeletal pain, nausea, and abdominal pain. Serious AEs were reported in 30% of patients, primarily due to infection. Second primary malignancy, which was the most common reason for treatment discontinuation, was reported in 2% of patients. An international adaptive trial will evaluate the combination of tazemetostat with lenalidomide and rituximab in patients with follicular lymphoma who have received at least one prior line of therapy. The study, which will be used to support a full approval for tazemetostat in this indication, is expected to enroll approximately 500 patients with follicular lymphoma, wherein patients will be stratified by EZH2 mutation status. Follicular lymphoma is typically an incurable disease, and one in which patients will see a number of treatments over the course of their lifespan. However, novel therapies are needed for patients who progress through chemotherapy and other available options, said Leonard. The approval of tazemetostat provides another agent for this subset of patients who would have otherwise not had good options, he added. In our exclusive interview, Leonard shared the significance of the FDA approval of tazemetostat in follicular lymphoma. What does the approval of tazemetostat bring to patients with relapsed refractory EZH2 positive disease and those who have no other suitable options?
So follicular lymphoma is typically an incurable disease, and so these are patients typically that will need many treatments over the course of their lifetime. So having new options is important, particularly when patients have already been through chemotherapy and some of the other therapies are already available. In mutant EZH2 disease, the effectiveness of this drug is pretty substantial, with an overall response rate in mutated patients of about 70%, give or take. And so that is really, I think, a very meaningful response rate for patients with mutant EZH2 and follicular lymphoma. In the wild-type group of patients, the response rates are lower, in the range of about 35%, give or take. And I think that that still is a meaningful response rate for a subset of patients who, in some cases, don't have other options.
So could you provide some background on tazemetostat and its mechanism of action in this setting?
So tazemetostat is an oral inhibitor of EZH2. EZH2 is involved in germinal center formation in particular and is in the category of something that plays a role in epigenetics. And so this is an epigenetic targeted drug in some ways. And the bottom line is that it seems to have activity, particularly in germinal center lymphomas within the lymphoma subgroup, of which follicular lymphoma is one. There are subsets of patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma where also this may be operative, although the approval is not in that setting at the present time.
And how common are EZH2 mutations? Do you see the approval impacting the use of next-generation sequencing at all?
Well, there, as part of the approval, there is a test that's available now to look for EZH2 mutations. The COBUS EZH2 mutation test was also approved as a companion diagnostic, so that will be available for clinicians to order. People are also, in some cases, doing mutation panels on their lymphoma patients, and EZH2 mutations is one marker that is often available as part of those panels, and so that is also a way that some people might be looking for EZH2 mutations amongst panel of mutations. So it's a minority of patients that have EZH2 mutations in follicular lymphoma, somewhere in the range of about 20% or so, give or take. So the mutated subset is a smaller subset, a minority of the patients. But that said, while efficacy is lower in the wild type group of patients, it's still potentially meaningful for a subset of patients depending on what other options they have.
And earlier on, you mentioned the high response rates that we're seeing. Could you expand a little bit on the data reported from the phase 2 trial that led to the approval?
Sure. The data, as summarized by the FDA approval, is basically that the overall response rate in about 42 patients with EZH2 mutant follicular lymphoma was 69%. Those were mostly partial responses, 57% partial responses. The duration of response was 10.9 months, and some of those responses were longer in some cases. In the wild-type group of patients, it was 34% overall response rate, with 30% being partial responses. So again, the majority being partial responses, and there the duration of response was 13 months. So I would say this is meaningful for this subset of patients.
And what about the safety profile? What should we be aware of?
So one thing that's important is that this is an oral agent taken twice daily, and so that is obviously nice for patients from the perspective of taking this at home. I would say that the adverse event profile is reasonably favorable compared to some of the options like chemotherapy that these patients might otherwise be getting in some cases. The main side effects include fatigue, infections, some GI side effects, nausea, and occasional serious adverse events happened in the studies, including infection most commonly.
And this was a phase 2 trial, and I believe there's a confirmatory phase 3, correct?
Yes, there's a confirmatory phase 3 trial that is adding tazemetostat to lenalidomide and rituximab in patients with follicular lymphoma. Lenalidomide rituximab is a regimen we were involved in developing as well in follicular lymphoma. This randomized trial will see what are its effects on the safety profile.
Is there any other element of the phase 2 trial or the impact on the paradigm that I didn't ask about that you wanted to emphasize?
Well, I think in follicular lymphoma, we've really been focused on developing new options for patients that are not chemotherapy or have, in some cases, more favorable safety profiles than chemotherapy, and certainly also can be effective if patients have already been through chemotherapy and have limited other options. And so I think this is one more option for a subset of follicular lymphoma patients. And I think there's no question that some patients can benefit from this treatment. And I think it's really good to have more options for patients to choose from in this disease setting.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.